Country. He's one of our Brean officers. Present time, he's the first vice president of our Brean Society. And Brother Dick has been doing some organizational work of his own this past year and has been, you might say, the youth evangelist, although he hasn't been able to go out into the field. But he has been doing a lot of investigation work. And he's going to have a message this evening which will help us, I believe, in trying to tie together the thoughts of the day and to put forth a real challenge to us. Brother Dick.
I think all ministers, when we get up here in the pulpit during general conference time, realize that it's quite a bit different than preaching at our home churches. We have so many more people to speak to, and so many more that are probably better qualified to be up here than I. Just before the service began, David and some others were asking me how I felt. I said I was scared to death. I still am, but maybe I'll get over it. I think it is wonderful when we can get together for a general conference at least once a year. I think that we can see a definite growth in our work. We'd almost have to be blind unless we evidence this growth among our people. It is certainly wonderful. I remember that I used to have the impression that General Conference was a time when various delegates and ministers came up to air out their pet hobbies and to come with a chip on their shoulders, mad because they didn't happen to get their way. I think that is going out the window. I believe that we are getting to the place where we come together, we benefit from the ideas of others, and we go home refreshed and enthusiastic. And I think it is nice when we can come from all parts of the country and discuss our common problems, where we can get together and see our differences as far as our circumstances and localities are concerned. Of course, we have to have a little joke once in a while about the North and the South and perhaps the East and the West getting together. I think it is wonderful that we can do these things. Just to give you an example of how we are getting more friendly these days, I got a call from Brother Shaw the other day from Little Rock. And since I wasn't here at the time, I was to call him back. And so the operator wasted no time in getting me to the long-distance operator in Little Rock. She asked me my name and then wanted to know my number. Then she said, "Now, Bill, what number did you want?" I had never known a long-distance operator to get acquainted with me so fast. But we didn't have any trouble getting connections and talking with Brother Shaw after that. So I think that we can take an example from that and share our enthusiasm and our friendliness toward one another. I feel very humble in coming here representing the National Youth Director of our church, because I know that I know very little bit about it. I'm happy to see that others are interested in it and others are working along this same line. Youth work is so big that we can't limit it to one person working in that field. We need as many as we can who will be interested in that sort of work. And I suppose you would have no difficulty knowing what I'm going to talk about. If I didn't talk about youth work, it'd be like a car salesman getting up here and trying to sell you on the idea of eating potato chips. So I'm going to talk about what I'm interested in, about youth work. Now, I'm going to talk tonight to older people about younger people. So many of our messages are designed strictly for the young people in trying to encourage them to accept the Lord and to find places of opportunity in His work. Tonight, I'm going to forget all about the young people. They can go to sleep if they want to. I want to talk to everyone else who is interested in young people. I don't think that we need to be jealous or feel that we are being slighted because we are emphasizing so much youth work. After all, we were all young people once, weren't we? And I'm not intimating that we're all old people, because someone has said that we are no older than we feel. You know, one of the best ways is to feel younger is to work and to associate with young people. Isn't that the truth? Have you ever done that? Working with young people, you'll actually feel younger. So don't anyone feel that they are being slighted or feel that the new young minister is spending too much time with the young people and he doesn't have anything to do with us old folks. I feel that some of our people throughout the country have that idea. But we were all young people, and we can all still be young people if we want to think of it in that way. Youth is a wonderful time of life. It is there that We feel good. We don't have so many aches and pains, as Solomon was telling us in Ecclesiastes 12. Because later on we expect these things. But at youth, we feel good. We feel ambitious. We are enthusiastic. We like to get out and do things. We get a little nervous when we have to sit around and wait for somebody else to say, well, now we can go ahead. But we want to get things done right now. Youth are the kind that would go out and conquer the world on a moment's notice if they felt that it was at all possible. There are a lot of qualities that we can take advantage of in young people. It's a wonderful field for spreading the word of God. They are ready to accept without any prejudices or any traditions to hold them back. Perhaps they do not have so many excuses as other people. Yes, youth is a good time to work with people and get them to accept the Lord. And we know that when we do work with young people, we are just that much ahead in winning people to the Lord. For usually these truths stick with young people. They become interested and active in the work, and they are not afraid to go ahead to do things that some of the rest of us are just a little bit slow and hesitant to do. Well, I haven't forgotten the topic for tonight's sermon. That is found in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. My first impression when I read this verse was, how could I use that with youth work? It seems that too many of us are standing still already. We need to run a while. But perhaps there is some good in this verse. I get the impression as if we were standing at the edge of a high building, and the least little bit of wind would blow us over so that we would fall. He tells us to be careful how we stand. Take heed how we stand, for the least little thing might make us fall. Perhaps we can use that idea in our thoughts in encouraging youth work in our church. We are standing all right. I don't suppose that we are going backwards, but let us be careful. Let us take measures to see that we don't fall, for many things are falling today and failing. Let us pray that our church will go forward and that we can stand. I don't think that we need an expert to tell us that we need work among our young people in the church of God. We need it. Now I'm going to list three reasons why we need work among young people. Maybe we can understand then what we can do, how we can go forward. The first reason that I want to bring out is that we have a moral problem in our country today. Some churches go ahead with that as the only incentive for doing something to young people because of the low morals and the increase in crime in our country. You've heard many figures given along this line and experts telling us what a problem we have with young people today. And so we don't need to give very many of these. But I was interested in a report that was given by a minister in Winnipeg. He was telling how that one of his ministries is to go to the city jail and there to preach to those in the jail. He has done that year after year. He gives this report that 15 years ago, that the age range of those in that jail was mainly from 22 years of age to 35, comparatively young men who got into trouble and were behind bars, 22 to 35. He says each year he preaches in that prison, but the last year, the majority of those in the city jail were from 12 to 17 years of age. That seems almost impossible to believe. That is what he is telling us. We learn also, according to many reports by other experts, and this one by J. Edgar Hoover, who is director of the FBI. He is a very religious man, as I understand, and always points the finger at the trouble as being lack of interest in Sunday school and church as the root of many of these problems, why young people figure so much in crimes. He tells us that from 25% to 50% of all major crimes were committed by people under 21 years of age. That's quite a record. He tells us also that there has been an increase in the percentage of arrests of girls under 15 years of age for delinquent charges. He goes ahead to report that there are in every large city groups of young people from 10 years of age on up who prowl the streets at night just looking for trouble. They don't have anything else to do, and usually they can find the trouble. He said that half the crimes against property last year were committed by people under 25 years of age. In investigating each one of these, over 90% of them had no religious training and didn't go to Sunday school and church. Well, these are nothing new. We've heard these reports time and time again. But I'm mentioning them just because we do have a moral problem. How do we stand with our young people in trying to clean up this mess in our country? Our second problem is simply this, and it's nothing new at all either. If we don't work with our young people, if we don't win them to the Lord, if we don't get them active in the work of the church, a generation from now, we won't have any church. It's just that simple. That's why we ought to reach out and interest our young people. It amazes me to visit various churches and to get acquainted with adults who are attending church, who are active in the church work. And I get acquainted with them, talk with them about their families and so on, find that they have young people in their families, and say, well, where is so-and-so? Oh, they didn't make it today. They went swimming, or they went with some of the gang somewhere else. We see a need for even getting our own young people to church, even if we forgot about all of those who were outside of the faith. Bringing our young people. Then, of course, we want to mention a third reason why that we should work among young people. And that is for the simple idea of go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We have an evangelistic responsibility. They are among the people that we can witness among. They are among those that we can go out and say, you have a need for the Lord. We're always thinking of dark natives in Africa and those in the slums and underprivileged people. But young people certainly present a great opportunity for evangelistic work. Going out and reaching them. I don't have the facts to show how many of our young people in this country do not go to Sunday school. I did have them, but it is staggering to notice and to learn how many do have no knowledge whatsoever of the Bible, of characters in the Bible, and of anything about the way a Sunday school or church operates. I think this is nothing more than a pep talk. I'm trying to encourage every one of us to go out and to do something about it. First of all, I want to get this across, if nothing else, and that is that none of us are experts when it comes to working with young people. I want to say that there is nothing wrong with our young people. Now, you may have a big question mark there. But when we come like a doctor and take out our stethoscope and examine young people and say, Well, now I know why we aren't doing anything. I know what's wrong with our young people. There's nothing wrong with our young people that isn't wrong with all of us. I have wondered why I couldn't get some young people to come to church. Why I couldn't get them interested in doing this and doing that. When I studied it a little further, I found out it was because their parents didn't encourage them a bit. I was having the same trouble with the adults. So we all have those aches and pains that need to be doctored. And I don't think that young people like to be included in a glass cage, to be observed out here and say, I see something that's wrong with you. We all have that something that is wrong with us. It's certainly a wonderful experience to work with young people, and perhaps some of you are teachers of young people. Sometimes we go home and have to get out the aspirins. We don't know how to solve all of these problems, but as a whole, it is an experience of joy to work with young people. And they can send you away laughing at some of your troubles, for they seem to have none. It seems that every Sunday school class I teach, I have something to go home and tell Betty about that happened, and of course the other classes are wondering why we had something that was so funny and such a serious lesson. I remember not too long ago we were having a lesson on prayer. I try to get these as practical as can be so I can understand them, so they can understand them. But we were having this lesson on prayer. I was trying to get across the thought that we could contact God at any time and that He could hear all of us at the same time. Even if every one of us here in His church were approaching God in prayer, He could hear us. I spoke to one of the boys and I said, Don, how could it be that God could hear you and me both praying at the same time? And he said, well, God has two ears, doesn't He? Well, he had perhaps a good answer, but we do get experiences that are full of joy, and we go away enthusiastic in working with young people. How do we stand? Take heed lest we fall. What can we do now? Well, let's start at home. How do we stand in our relationships with young people at home? What do we do at home in interesting our young people? It is difficult for a minister who has just an hour or two each week to influence young people. When other influences are so strong, the temptations of the world and the manner of doing things at home usually win out. So we need good examples at home. What are we doing? I have a report here by a church secretary of a large church. He studied cases of 700 young people who had left their church in a number of years. He studied each one of these, tried to determine what kind of homes they came from, perhaps determine why they left the Sunday school and church. He found that out of these 700, only three came from homes where one or both of the parents came to Sunday school and church themselves. Only three out of the 700. He also found that in the senior and youth groups, which are mainly interested in tonight, the young people, that 90% of these young people came from homes where their parents didn't attend Sunday school and where they weren't interested at all in affairs of the church. Perhaps there is an answer to how we can best influence our young people, working through everyone, the older ones, to influence. How can we do it? We go into homes and we see influences there which we know are stronger, perhaps, than those of the good wishes of the parents. Young people and children can tell you every program that comes on television, but do they know every book in the Bible? They have a stack of comic books there on the table and could tell you what is in those, but could they tell you what is in the Word of God? We've been doing something in our church, trying to promote a prayer meeting. I've been amazed at the children and at the young people that take part in this prayer meeting. There was a little boy of 5 years of old, years of age, that took part in our last prayer session that we had, everyone in the church. That really inspired me. And in some of these homes where I know that they have no family altar, where they do not have prayer at meals, some of these little boys and girls will say, "Don't you think we'd better have prayer?" I was invited to a home where the people almost forgot to have grace before we had a barbecue supper. And a little girl said, "You forgot the prayer." We need the Bible in the home. We need prayer in the home. And we have come to a standstill when we can't influence our young people from the home. Well, let's branch out a little bit, broaden our interest. How do we stand in the church? What are we doing for our young people? Do you have an active fellowship? Do you have a youth group that is really on the ball, that is influencing young people, that have regular meetings, that have regular studies of the Bible, recreational periods, things that are really interesting to young people? The best methods that we know of influencing young people, do we have them? We need to study these and see that we get them. Perhaps we have the wrong impression when we say, "Well, now those young folks don't want us older folks interfering with their affairs," and sometimes I'll admit we've given that impression. But that is wrong. Every one of us needs to work together on this. And if young people are put off in a room by themselves and we say, "Now you form a Brian society," it won't work. They need the influence, the advice, the counseling of someone older. That is why we're trying to pattern our work now from other groups who have learned a little bit quicker than we, to have counselors. Perhaps you can serve in that capacity. The minister or someone other in your church who is interested in young people's work, be a counselor. And by that, I don't mean that you should be a leader, one who gets in there and drives them and say, "Now we're going to do this and do that." A counselor is one who advises and suggests that we do these things. Let the young people think that it is their work. And the two working together can accomplish wonderful things. I'm a great believer in the works part of faith in the Lord. We need works. We need action. We need to do things. That is one of the best ways to make people grow in the Lord, is to get them into the church to do things. And that is one of the best ways that we can work with young people. Get them in the Lord's house to doing things. And don't make fun of them when they make a mistake, or say, "Well, we'd better have somebody else that's a little bit more experienced and we'll do a better job of that." I have a young fellow in my church that is very hesitant to do anything for the Lord, for the simple reason that when he was a very young man, that he decided he wanted to give a little talk in church one day. When he consulted some of the older ones about it, they said, "Well, you'd better not. You haven't been baptized yet." Well, from that very moment, he decided to have no interest at all. It poured cold water on that young man's enthusiasm. We need to give young people every opportunity to do something. Now, we don't need to entertain young people like they were guests and like they had to be pampered. That isn't the idea. But move over and say, "You have just as much interest in the Lord's house as I do." Young people don't want to be entertained or be taken on picnics all the time. They like to think of the church as their church. They have a part in it. They like to lead in prayer. I may take back some of these words someday, but they can be encouraged to do these things. I have every young person in my church will lead in prayer and service, and I can't say that for all the older ones. They are willing to do these things. They like to sing. They like to lead in the singing. They like to worship the Lord in a very devotional atmosphere. They want to do these things. They even want to tithe and show their interest in the Lord's way of doing things. They like to come to the prayer meetings. At least they do in my church. Some of our ministers in Fredericktown were scratching their heads as to know what to do with young people during the week. They can't get them out to prayer meetings. And so they were attempting to start a youth organization which would set us apart a separate night just for the young people. Well, I was very happy when I went to the minister's fellowship to find that I didn't have any trouble getting my young people to church. Sometimes Wednesday night looks like it's a youth meeting because there are so many there. I think it is wonderful when we can get them there to share in prayer, in Bible study, and in the fellowship that is so needed. Now we need to branch out a little bit farther. How do we stand as a state work, as a district? What are we doing in our youth work? Well, we're learning a little bit, and I notice that several districts are doing things that are wonderful. Some of these reports have been in the Restitution Herald. How that the young people are meeting with young youth groups from other churches. They are getting together, having youth rallies over the weekend. How that the gospel teams are going from one church to another and witnessing for the Lord. That is wonderful and really boosts the church work as a whole. One of the problems that has been discussed here is about marrying those in our faith. One of the questions that always arises is that our churches are so small that we don't have very many young people to get acquainted with. We need to branch out and get acquainted with other young people. And I know that there are young people in all churches that have never come to our youth rallies or our conferences so that they meet other young people. Maybe we can encourage the youth of two churches going together, then three, then a whole state working together. And you'll be surprised what can happen. Well, as one final thought, how do we stand in our national setup as far as our youth are concerned? We are in a growing stage and we are getting lots of ideas. I thought I had some new ideas when I came here tonight, but after I sat through the sessions today, I decided that somebody else had beat me to them. That's a good thing when we can study these things separately and come to a common agreement, a common approach. So perhaps I haven't anything new to suggest. But we do need something that is organized, a positive approach, some way that we can go to young people and say, now we have something for you. Will you go along with us? We just can't say, well, young people, do as you please and select the kind of program that you want and come if you feel like it. We need to have something there for them when they get there. So it is so in our national work. How do we stand? Let us stand firm to be sure that we do not fall. Let us cooperate and encourage that we work together as a national group. I think that we're beginning to see more cooperation and working together. Our youth camp this year is an advancement over years in the past. We are growing and growing, and I'm glad to see the interest that is shown. But it is up to all of us to encourage. Usually it is up to older ones to encourage to come to these things. I found it so in my church. The young people themselves didn't make any difference. But when some of the older ones began to talk with them and encourage them and show the opportunities, wonderful things could be done. And two, young people many times are interested in doing these things. We need to approach them. But too often, we have been blocked by somebody else because of prejudice, well, you'd better not go because they have somebody up there teaching that I don't agree with. And we throw a roadblock in the whole thing. We all need to cooperate and advertise and tell each other about our youth work. Come together. I've been hearing a few criticisms of our youth work, and perhaps they are justified. No one of us is perfect. Maybe we do make a lot of mistakes in our youth work. I've often wondered why youth didn't come from certain sections of the country. They said, well, we didn't know anything about it. Why didn't you know anything about it? Well, we said it's advertised in the Herald. Well, people don't take the Herald. Brother Watkins here, we need to do something along the whole line. People interested, working together. Let us stand together for fear that we might all fall together. Another effort, which is certainly in the limelight, is the work of an evangelist strictly for young people. Going out in the church, working with young people, trying to encourage them to work together. Many of these things are being planned in our national work and our district work. But don't think that national means two or three people who happen to be sitting behind desks in Oregon, Illinois. It means every one of us. Every one of us working together, saying, I'll cooperate, I'll help to put this thing over. And that's the only way that it can be done. I don't know if I presented anything new, and I don't believe that I have. But it's just a pep talk to see if we can get out and share in working in the most wonderful opportunity that we have, letting young people know of the Lord's work. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let us stand together and do wonderful things for God.
We want to close then by singing number 40, Bring Them In.